Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. We are live. It is 2 o'clock. Go load up in the chat. Let me know when you can see me, when you can hear me. Shows that we're live, but connection looks a little spotty. So hopefully this connects smoothly. Oh, and I got a sneeze right when I hit live. Hold on. Sneeze gone. All right, the sneeze is gone. Anyway, welcome to day number 86 of our Bible in 90 days. This is crazy. 86, it sounds unreal. We're almost there. We are going to be ending on Thursday. So we have 4 more days after this, and we will be done with our Bible in 90 days. It flew by. Thank you for all of you that have been here since day one. I know a lot of you have. And, you know, it's been up and down with the people that have been on, but people are watching on the replay. They're catching back up. A lot of you have been here every single day, so I appreciate you. Let's do it. I know, what are we going to do after this is done? A lot of you keep saying this is part of my schedule every day at 2, and that's how I feel. Going to be weird, like at 2 o'clock, there's just going to be something missing in my life. So maybe we'll do something like this again in the future. We're definitely not going to do it back to back because the summertime, I want to, you know, take some time off, spend time with the kids and all that, and just have time to go camping and be outside and do all the stuff that the kids want to do in summer. So yeah, we won't be doing it back to back, but we'll do something like this at some point soon. But yeah, all right, let's go. Let's start. Bible in 90 days, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. This is a letter from Paul to the church in Thessalonica, which it literally says it right here. I didn't even realize it. I was trying to give you some context, and Paul says it. I could have just kept reading. Pray for my connection. Waiting. It says reconnecting. I hope it doesn't cut out here right when we started. That would be so lame. Let me try to fix something here. Why has it been doing that lately? I don't understand. My internet's fine, but it just keeps... Let me try to fix this. I've been having this issue. I need to update my OBS. I'm going to update it right after this. Because I don't know why I keep having this issue where my internet goes in and out. My internet's fine, but my program is like not establishing a connection. Type 1 if I'm clear and I'm not glitching and I'm not skipping. Type 1. Let me know if I'm not glitching. If I'm not glitching and skipping around, I'll just start. But I do want to get this fixed or wait. 4 o'clock your time? That's awesome. All right. So if I'm clear, not glitching, not skipping, type 1. Really great. That's awesome. Thank you. Unbound. Buffering a tiny bit. Okay. Fine on your end. All right. Let's just get started. If it buffers, I mean, you can watch the replay. I don't know what else to do. It's all good. Connection's good. All right. We're going to get started. Chapter 1. This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We're writing to the church in Thessalonica, to you who belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give you grace and peace. The faith of the Thessalonian believers. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own holy people, to be his own people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but with the power of the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit, despite the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. As a result, you have become an example to all believers in Greece throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from idols to serve the living and true God. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. All right. Chapter 2, Paul remembers his visit. You yourselves know, dear brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not a failure. You know how badly we've been treated at Philippi just before we came to you and how much we suffered there. Yet our God gave us the courage to declare his good news to you boldly, in spite of great opposition. So you can see we were not preaching with any deceit or impure motives or trickery. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know, and God is our witness that we were not pretending to be your friends just to get your money. As for human praise, we never sought it from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but instead we were like children among you, or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that we could not burden any of you as we preach good news to you. You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless toward all of you believers. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy, for he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received this message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. And then, dear brothers and sisters, you suffered persecution from your own countrymen. In this way, you imitated the believers in God's church in Judea who, because of their belief in Christ Jesus, suffered from their own people, the Jews. For some of the Jews killed the prophets, and some even killed the Lord Jesus. Now they persecuted us too. They fail to please God and work against all humanity as they try to keep us from preaching the good news of salvation to the Gentiles. By doing this, they continue to pile up their sins, but the anger of God has caught up with them at last. Timothy's good report about the church. Dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated from you or a little while, though our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you again. We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. After all, what gives us hope and joy, and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns? It is you. Yes, you are our pride and joy. Chapter 3. Finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy to visit you. He's our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by troubles you are going through. But you know that we were destined for such troubles. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come, and they did, as you well know. That is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the temper had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. But now Timothy has just returned, bringing us good news about your faith and love. He reports that you always remember our visit with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. So we've been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you've remained strong in your faith. It gives us new life to know that you're standing in the Lord. We thank God for you because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we earnestly pray for you, asking God to lead us to see you again to fill the gaps in your faith. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow just as our love for you overflows. May he as a result make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father and our Lord Jesus comes again with his holy people. Amen. Chapter 4, live to please God. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God as we've taught you. You live this way already and we encourage you to do so even more. For you remember what we taught by the authority of the Lord Jesus. God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who don't know God and his ways. Never harm or cheat a fellow believer in this matter by violating his wife, for the Lord avenges all such sin as we've solemnly warned you before. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. But we don't need to write you about the importance of loving each other, for God himself has taught you to love one another. Indeed, you already show your love for all believers throughout Macedonia. Even so, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you to love them even more. Make it your goal to live. Now, everybody listen in the chat, all right? This is very important. Make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands, just as we instructed you before. Then people who are not believers will respect the way you live and you'll not need to depend on others. The hope of the resurrection. So if you're wondering, like, what should I be doing? What is my calling? Live a quiet life, mind your own business, and work with your hands. Pretty easy. Pretty easy to do. Not that it's easy to do, but it's pretty easy to understand what we should be doing. The hope of the resurrection. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died so you'll not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. Chapter 5. Now concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly like a thief in the night. When people are saying, everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall upon them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pain begins, and there will be no escape. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. And this right here is very important because this disproves pre-tribulation rapture, where it's a surprise and we're going to be like, oh no, there's a rapture. This right here disproves it. So let me read it again. Now remember, this disproves pre-trib surprise rapture that we've been taught our whole lives. Okay, chapter 5. Very important. This is talking about when Christ returns. Now concerning how and when this will happen, we don't really need to write you. For you know that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains, and there'll be no escape. But you, listen to this, but you, this is the believers, aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. And you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. Whoa! We got taught because of Left Behind movie that we're all going to be surprised when the day of the Lord comes. But nope, very clear. You will not be surprised. Right here. And here's why. Verse 5. For you are children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness tonight. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let those who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour his anger out on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you already are doing. That's very important, though, this whole area of 1 Thessalonians 5. Paul's final advice. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak and be patient with everyone. See to it that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all the people. Always be joyful, never stop praying, and be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said and hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Paul's final greetings. I know I stirred up a hornet's nest in the chat, but it's okay. Now may the God of peace, who make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Dear brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a sacred kiss, and I command you in the name of the Lord to read this letter to all the brothers and sisters. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. All right, before we go into 2 Thessalonians, let me make something clear. I believe in the rapture. I just believe in what the Bible teaches, and that is that the rapture happens after the 7-year tribulation. So after the 7-year tribulation, we are raptured, we meet the Lord in the air, and as the Bible says, we return as a heavenly army with the Lord for his second coming. If you believe in the pre-trib rapture, you believe that he comes again to get us and then comes a third time after the end of the tribulation, which doesn't make any sense. But anyways, I was pre-trib rapture for years. I had whole videos about why we should believe pre-trib rapture. I did 7 reasons why. And then as I talked to people that knew the topic better, studied the scripture more, I realized that it doesn't line up with scripture. And that's a whole video you can go watch on the channel. But yeah, I know how passionate you are about the pre-trib. I used to be that way, arguing, debating people, how pre-trib is true. And the Lord opened my eyes. So it's all good. Just watch the videos. 2 Thessalonians, greetings from Paul, chapter 1. This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We're writing to the church in Thessalonica, to you who belong to our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Encouragement during persecution. Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing, and your love for one another is growing. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness and all the persecutions and hardships you're suffering. And God will use the persecution to show this justice and to make you worthy of his kingdom for which you are suffering. In his justice, he'll pay you. He'll pay back those who persecute you. And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted, and also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. He will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. They'll be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. When he comes on that day, he will receive glory from his people, praise from all who believe, and this includes you, for you believe what we told you about him. So we keep on praying for you, asking God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May God give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Then the name of the Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and will be honored, and he will be, and you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus Christ. So crazy how people always say Jesus never claimed to be God and Jesus isn't God. It literally all through scripture, our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Like, how could you be more clear? It's all over. Chapter 2, events prior to the Lord's second coming. Now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we'll be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. Don't be fooled by what they say. For the day of the Lord will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember what I told you about all of this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it'll remain secret until the one who's holding it back steps out of the way. Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus, will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him with the splendor of his coming. This man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power, signs, and miracles. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived and they'll believe these lies. Then they'll be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. Believers should stand firm. As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We're always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy, and though you though your belief in the truth, he called you to salvation when he told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. With all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you, both in person and by the letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. Paul's request for prayer. Now, finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Pray the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes, just as when it came to you. Pray, too, that we'll be rescued from wicked and evil people, for not everyone is a believer. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. And we are confident in the Lord, that you are doing and will continue to do the things we commanded you. May the Lord lead your hearts in a full understanding and expression of the love of God and be patient endurance that comes from Christ. An exhortation to proper living. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the tradition they receive from us. For you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night so we could not be a burden to any of you. We certainly have the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. Take note of those who refuse to obey when we say that what we say in this letter and stay away from them so they will be ashamed. Don't think of them as enemies, but warn them as you should a brother or sister. Paul's final greetings. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. Here's my greeting in my own handwriting, Paul. I do this in all my letters to prove they're from me. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. 1 Timothy chapter 1, greetings from Paul. This letter is from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, appointed by the command of our God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gives us hope. I'm writing to Timothy, my true son in the faith. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. Warnings against false teachings. When I left for Macedonia, I urge you to stay there in Ephesus and stop those whose teaching is contrary to the truth. Don't let them waste their time in endless discussions of myths and spiritual pedigrees. These things only lead to meaningless speculations, which don't help people live a life of God and of life of faith in God. The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith. But some people have missed this whole point. They've turned away from these things and spend their time in meaningless discussions. They want to be known as teachers of the law of Moses, but they don't know what they're talking about, even though they speak so confidently. We know that the law is good when used correctly. For the law was not intended for people. The law was not intended for people who do what is right. It was for people who are lawless and rebellious, who are ungodly and sinful, who consider nothing sacred and defile what is holy, who kill their father or mother or commit other murders. The law is for people who are sexually immoral or who practice homosexuality or are slave traders, liars, promise breakers, or those or who do anything else that contradicts the wholesome teaching that comes from the glorious good news entrusted me by our blessed God. Paul's gratitude for God's mercy. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him. Even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ in my insolence, I persecuted his people. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with faith and love that comes from Christ Jesus. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He's eternal King. He's the unseen one. He's the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight in the Lord's battle. Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their conscience. Sorry, one second. Turn this on. For some people have deliberately violated their conscience, and as a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Hymenaeus and Alexander are two examples. I threw them out and handed them over to Satan so they might learn not to blaspheme God. Chapter 2, Instructions About Worship. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Who wants everyone to be saved and understands the truth? I'm sorry, let me say it this way. Who wants everyone to be saved and understands the truth? I said it like a question. 4, there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world just at the right time. And I've been chosen as a preacher and apostle to teach the Gentiles this message about faith and truth, and I'm not exaggerating, just telling the truth. In every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. And I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes. For women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things they do. Preach. Women should learn quietly and submissively. I do not let women teach or have authority over men. Let them listen quietly. Let me rephrase it. For God made Adam first, and afterward he made Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived by Satan. The woman was deceived. The sin was the result. But women will be saved through childbearing, assuming they continue to live in faith, love, holiness, and modesty. Chapter 3, Leaders in the Church. This is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to be a church leader, he desires an honorable position. So a church leader must be a man whose life is above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. He must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must be able to teach. He must not be a heavy drinker or be violent, and he must be gentle, not quarrelsome, and not love money. This disqualifies a lot of pastors, just saying. He must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. For if a man cannot manage his own house, how can he take care of God's church? A church leader must not be a new believer, because he might become proud and the devil would cause him to fall. Also, people outside the church must speak well of him so that he will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons must be well-respected and have integrity. They must not be heavy drinkers or dishonest with money. They must be committed to the mystery of the faith now revealed and must live with a clear conscience. Before they are appointed as deacons, let them be closely examined. If they pass the test, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives must be respected and must not slander others. They must exercise self-control and be faithful in everything they do. A deacon must be faithful to his wife, and he must manage his own children and household well. Those who do well as deacons will be rewarded with respect from others and will have increased confidence in their faith in Christ Jesus, the truths of our faith. I'm writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon, so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. This is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth. Without question, this is the great mystery of our faith. Christ was revealed in a human body and vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by angels and announced to the nations. He was believed in throughout the world and taken to heaven in glory. Warning against false teachers, chapter 4. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time, some will turn away from the truth and they'll follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. They will say it's wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods, but God created these foods to be eaten with thanks by faithful people who know the truth. Since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it and receive it with thanks. For we know it's made acceptable by the word of God in prayer. Good servant of Christ Jesus. If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you'll be a worthy servant of Christ Jesus, one who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you followed. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourselves to be godly. Wow, it's old wives' tales? Guys, am I dumb? I thought it was wise tales. I always thought my whole life it was old wives' tales. Am I the only one? I need the chat to tell me right now. Am I the only one that thought it was wise tales? It's wives' tales. Okay, I must just be ignorant. Instead, train yourself to be godly. All right, type in the chat if you thought it was wise or wives. Just type in the chat so I know. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God who is the Savior of all people and particularly of all believers. Teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Isn't it crazy how you can be like, what, I'm going to be 34 this month? What month is it? Next month, I'll be 34. And I thought my whole life it was wives' tales. But it's wives' tales. That's crazy. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. See, all right, I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one, at least Cindy so far. Okay, a bunch of you. Man, you learn something new every day. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, in your purity. Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you and the elders of the when the elders of the church laid hands on you. All right, a lot of you thought wives. Like, what is the tale of a wife? Thank you. Yes, I'm the only one. I at least see three people right now that thought it was wise tales. All right. Okay. At least four people. I'm halfway to 60. Isn't that crazy? Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation, the salvation of those who hear you. All right. Chapter 5. Advice about widows, elders, and slaves. Never speak harshly to an older man, but appeal to him respectfully as you would to your own father. Talk to younger men as you would to your own brothers. Treat older women as you would your own mother, and treat younger women with all purity as you would your own sisters. Take care of any widow who has no one to take care of her, but if she has children or grandchildren, their first responsibility is to show godliness at home and repay their parents by taking care of them. This is something that pleases God. Wow. Take care of your parents. Listen, us Hispanics know all about this. But some of you other cultures, you need to learn this. Take care of your parents. Now, a true widow, a woman who is truly alone in this world, has placed her hope in God. She prays night and day, asking God for his help. But the widow who lives only for pleasure is spiritually dead even while she lives. Give these instructions to the church so that no one will be open to criticism. But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own house, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. Whoa! If you won't take care of your relatives, you're worse than an unbeliever. That's wild. A widow who is put on the list for support must be a woman who is at least 60 years old and is faithful to her husband. She must be well respected by everyone because of the good she has done. Has she brought up her children well? Has she been kind to strangers and served other believers humbly? Has she helped those who are in trouble? Has she always been ready to do good? The younger widows should not be on the list because their physical desires will overpower their devotion to Christ when they still want to remarry. Then they will be found guilty by breaking their previous pledge. And if they're on the list, they'll learn to be lazy and will spend their time gossiping from house to house, meddling in other people's business, and talking about things they shouldn't. So I advise these younger widows to marry again, have children, and take care of their own homes. Then the enemy will not be able to say anything against them. For I'm afraid that some of them have already gone astray and now follow Satan. If a woman who is a believer has relatives who are widows, she must take care of them and not put the responsibility on the church. Then the church can care for the widows who are truly alone. Elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. And in another place, those who work deserve their pay. Do not listen to an accusation against an elder unless it's confirmed by two or three witnesses. Those who sin should be reprimanded in front of the whole church. This will serve as a strong warning to others. I solemnly command you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus and the highest angels to obey these instructions without taking sides or showing favoritism to anyone. Never be in a hurry about appointing a church leader. Do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Don't drink only water. You ought to drink a little wine for the sake of your stomach because you're sick so often. Remember, the sins of some people are obvious, leading them to certain judgment, but there are others who sin will not be revealed until later. Wow. In the same way, the good deeds of some people are obvious and the good deeds in secret will someday come to light. Chapter 6. All slaves should show full respect for their masters so they will not bring shame on the name of God and his teaching. If the masters are believers, there is no excuse for being disrespectful. Those slaves should work all the harder because their efforts are helping other believers who are well-loved. False teaching and true riches. Teach these things, Timothy, and encourage everyone to obey them. Some people may contradict our teaching, but these are the wholesome teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. These teachings promote a godly life. Anyone who teaches something different is arrogant and lacks understanding. Such a person has an unhealthy desire to quibble over the meaning of words. This stirs up arguments, ending in jealousy, division, slander, and evil suspicions. These people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt, and they've turned their backs on the truth. To them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. Yet true godliness with contentment itself is great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we take nothing with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who belong to rich fall in, But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Paul's final instructions. But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight for true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you've declared to be well before many witnesses, which you've declared so well. And I charge you before God, who gives life to all, and before Jesus Christ, who gave you a good testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey this command without wavering. Then no one can find fault with you from now until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. For just at the right time, Christ will be revealed from heaven and be blessed by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. He alone can never die, and he lives in light so brilliant that no human can approach him. No human eye has ever seen him, nor ever will. All honor and power to him forever. Amen. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they'll be storing up their treasure as a good foundation of the future so they may experience true life. Timothy, guard what God has entrusted to you. Avoid godless, foolish discussions with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge. Some people have wandered from the faith by following such foolishness. May God's grace be with you all. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I've been sent out to tell others about the life he has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. I'm writing to Timothy, my dear son. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. Encouragement to be faithful. Timothy, I thank God for you, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we were together again. And by the way, this is Paul's last known letter, for those of you wondering, before he passed away. So this is like his deathbed letter, they call it. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that the same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan in the flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, but because his plan from the beginning of time was to show his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he's made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way of life and immortality through good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. That is why I'm suffering here in prison. But I'm not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I'm sure that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until the day of his return. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and the love that you have in Christ Jesus. Though the power of the Holy Spirit lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. As you know, everyone from the province of Asia has deserted me, even Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show special kindness to Onesiphorus and all his family because he often visited and encouraged me. He was never ashamed of me because I was in chains. When we came to Rome, he searched everywhere until he found me. May the Lord show him special kindness on the day of Christ's return, and you know very well how helpful he was in Ephesus. Chapter 2, A Good Soldier of Christ Jesus. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You've heard me teach these things and have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life. For then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. Always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. And because I preach this good news, I'm suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. So I'm willing to endure anything if it'll bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. And if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. For he cannot deny who he is. Remind everyone about these things and condemn them in the presence of God to stop fighting over words. Let me say it again. And command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless and they can ruin those who hear them. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer. As in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus, they've left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred, and this way they've turned some people away from the faith. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you'll be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you'll be ready for the master to use for every good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change the people's hearts, and they will learn the truth. For they'll come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. All right, the dangers of the last days. Chapter 3. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. For people will only love themselves and their money. They'll be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They'll consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving and unforgiving. They'll slander others and have no self-control. They'll be cruel and hate what is good. They'll betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they'll reject the power that can make them godly. Stay away from people like that. They're the kind who work their way into people's homes and win confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they never are able to understand the truth. These teachers oppose the truth just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. They've deprived minds and counterfeit faith. But they won't get away with this for long. Someday everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as with Jannes and Jambres. But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I've endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, and everyone wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will also suffer persecution. But evil people and imposters will flourish. They'll deceive others and will themselves be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you've been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they've given you wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Chapter 4. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should have a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I fought the good fight, I finished the race, and I've remained faithful. But now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Timothy, please come as soon as you can. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus has gone to Dalmatia. I don't know. Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you when you come, for he'll be helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, be sure to bring the coat I left with Carpus at Troas. Also bring my books and especially my papers. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, but the Lord will judge him for what he's done. Said, the first time I was brought before the judge, no one came with me. Everyone abandoned me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength so that I might preach the good news in its entirety for all the Gentiles to hear, and he rescued me from certain death. Yes, the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila and those living in the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed at Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick at Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus sends you greetings, and so does Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the other believers and sisters. And these are the last recorded words of Paul before he passed away, written down. May the Lord be with your spirit, and may his grace be with all of you. Powerful, powerful. All right, here we go. We have... let's see, this. All right, we're almost there. We got two more books here. It's a longer day. Titus, chapter 1. This letter is from Paul, a slave of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I've been sent to proclaim the faith to those God has chosen and to teach them to know the truth that shows them how to live godly lives. This truth gives them confidence that they have eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised them before the world began. And now at just the right time, he has revealed this message, which we announce to everyone. It is by the command of God, our Savior, that I've been entrusted with this work for him. I'm writing to Titus, my true son in the faith that we share. May God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, give you grace and peace. Titus, work in Crete. I left you on the island of Crete so you can complete our work there and appoint elders in each town as I instructed you. An elder must live a blameless life. He must be faithful to his wife, and his children must be believers who don't have a reputation of being wild or rebellious. A church leader is a manager of God's household, so he must live a blameless life. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered. He must not be a heavy drinker, violent, or dishonest with money. Rather, he must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must love what is good. He must live wisely and be just. He must be devout and he must live a devout and disciplined life. He must have a strong belief in the trustworthy message he was taught. Then he'll be able to encourage others with wholesome teaching and show those who oppose it where they are wrong. For there are many rebellious people who engage in useless talk and deceive others. This is especially true of those who insist on circumcision for salvation. They must be silenced because they're turning whole families away from the truth of their false teachings, and they do it only for money. Even one of their own men, a prophet from Crete, has said about them, "The people of Crete are all liars, cruel animals, and lazy gluttons." This is true. So reprimand them sternly to make them strong in the faith. They must stop listening to Jewish myths and the commands of people who have turned away from the truth. Everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their minds and consciences are corrupted. Such people claim they know God, but they deny him by the way they live. They are detestable and disobedient, worthless for doing anything good. Chapter 2, promote right teaching. As for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, and to work in their homes to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity of seriousness of your teaching. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us. Slaves must also obey their masters and do their best to please them. They must not talk back or still, but must show themselves to be entirely trustworthy and good. Then they'll make the teaching about God our Savior attractive in every way. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, and we're instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward to the hope that the wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, so to cleanse us and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. You must teach these things and encourage the believers to do them. You have the authority to correct them when necessary, so don't let anyone disregard what you say. Chapter 3, do what is good. Remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Because of this grace, he made us right in the sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial for everyone. Do not get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or in quarrels and fights about obedience to Jewish laws. These things are useless and a waste of time. People are causing divisions among you. Give a first and second warning. After that, I have nothing more to do with them. For people like that have turned away from the truth and their own sins condemn them. I'm planning to send either Artemis or Tychicus to you. As soon as one of them arrives, do your best to meet them at Nicopolis, for I've decided to stay there for the winter. Do everything you can to help Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos with their trip. See to it that they are given everything they need. Our people must learn to do good by meeting the urgent needs of others. Then they will not be unproductive. Everybody here sends greetings. Please give my greetings to the believers, all who love us. May God's grace be with you all. Philemon, or some would say Philemon. All right, here we go. Greetings from Paul. This is one chapter. This letter is from Paul, a prisoner for preaching the good news about Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. I'm writing to Philemon, our beloved coworker, and to our sister Appia, and to our fellow soldier Archippus, and to the church that meets in your house. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Paul's thanksgiving and prayer. I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon. Let's call him Philemon, all right? Because I keep hearing your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God and God's people. And I'm praying you'll put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother. Your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. Paul's appeal for Onesimus. That is why I'm boldly asking a favor of you. I can demand you in the name of Christ because it's the right thing for you to do. But because of our love, I prefer to simply ask you. Consider this as a request from me, Paul, an old man, now also a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been much of use to you as in the past, but now he's very useful to both of us. I'm sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. I wanted to keep him here with me while I was in these chains for preaching the good news, and he would have helped me on your behalf. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help me because you were willing, not because you were forced. It seems you lost Onesimus for a little while so that you could have him back forever. He is no longer like a slave to you. He's more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you should welcome me. For if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, and I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. Yes, my brother, please do me this favor. For the Lord's sake, give me this encouragement in Christ. I'm confident as I write this letter that you'll do what I ask even more. One more thing. Please prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that God will answer your prayers and let me return to you soon. Paul's final greetings. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. So do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my co-workers. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. We are done with day 86 of our Bible in 90 days. I've been glitching this whole time on my screen. I hope I've been okay on your screen, but praise the Lord. Philemon. All right, Philemon. God bless you all. Today's been amazing. I hope you had a great time at church. And as always, I appreciate you all being here. We will be live tomorrow. Well, Jared will be live tomorrow at 2 reading the Bible, and then we'll be live tomorrow at 6 o'clock. For our Monday night teaching. We'll also be live most likely Tuesday. That's kind of shaky. I'm not fully sure yet, but I'll let you know for sure. And then here's what we're going to do. We're going to finish the Bible in 90 days on Thursday. All right. We may have videos this weekend. I'm not sure yet, but I'm going to be taking, let me confirm this before I make this decision here. So we'll be done Thursday the 1st. And yes. Okay. And then I'm taking the next week off. So we're done Thursday the 1st. That next week, Monday through Sunday, I'm going to be taking that off to basically just relax, spend time with the family. We're going to be taking the kids to get away. I've been live for 90 days straight, locked myself for 90 days home to make sure that I'm live with you guys. And so, yeah, we're going to take the kids, not this week, but next week on vacation. And I'm going to take the week off because that'll be kind of like, you know, our little celebration of the Bible 90 days being done. Streaming for 90 days straight, which has been crazy, but amazing as well. So I love you all. That's the plan. We'll be live tomorrow and then live also Tuesday night, most likely. And then we'll be taking the week after that off. We're finishing this Thursday. Excuse me. I love you. I appreciate you. Bless you. And I'll see all of you in the chat tomorrow. All right.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.